number 99. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction, fantasy and mythology podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's episode is the beginning of a two-parter in the run-up to the 100th episode next week. In a world that's turned against itself and destroyed all thinking machines, Karima discovers an abandoned robot and is followed in the dark. It's called Machines Discarded, Part 1. Today she discovered a discarded metal creature. It was a safe time to walk along the twilight lane, relatively at least. As she stepped silently to fetch water from the pump in the next farm, Karima watched for signs of movement along the edge of the fields. She was strong, encouraged by her now absent parents to look after herself, to know when to fight, to run, to hide. She knew how to cook without leaving a trace in the air, to clean her clothes in the river, to be wary of the people she met. Those parents had left when she was young, taking her sister with them on a trip to the city from which they'd never returned. Golden sunset would herald a peaceful night in more joyful times. But in her short life, she'd seen everything descend, with the destruction of the robots, then all machines as the economy collapsed, swiftly followed by society. She knew she was too young to understand what had happened, so she sat in the old parks and the benches on the roadside and leaned against the corners of the streets in the nearest town. She didn't invite discussion, kept her eyes down, smoothed her hair and dressed in neutral tones, but she listened to everyone, tried to piece together what had happened and learn how others survived. She'd heard so many stories of the rebellion of people against the machines, destroying what had been created to help them when it was discovered the machines were a threat after all. But today, she discovered a discarded metal creature. She tripped over something in the gathering shadows of the lane. A copse of trees, bent with the effort of age, distracted her with their branches silhouetted like arms, their twigs crooked like old fingers. She stopped herself falling and sprang back up, holding her breath still, checking for other sounds. "Just the minor birds," she muttered to herself. "But what's this?" She kicked gently in front of her and felt the unyielding resistance of some sort of metal. "Maybe I can make something with that, or sell it." She knelt down and tugged at the solid form. She found herself hauling a long, straggling bundle of metal parts, limbs, a torso, and finally a broken head. It was one of the old service robots, left to rust in the vegetation, cast aside or dumped, hard to tell which. Great for parts, though. She smiled for the first time in days. She had a few friends, or associates as she called them, and they all looked out for spare metal to sell or make useful. Some had even tried to jack them into life. In dire need of the water, though, she contemplated covering it up and leaving it, but sighed. "I'll have to bring it with me to the farm. I don't want to lose it." She shifted her water can into the crook of her arm and lifted the dented, scratched carcass. It was surprisingly light. "Well, I don't fancy dragging it." So she shuffled the abandoned creature onto her back like a rucksack, its legs dangling down, its shattered head lolling to the side. But today, she discovered a discarded metal creature. With the sun now disappeared, she reached the farm and felt strangely comforted by the presence of her broken companion. She strode up the winding path to the farm, quietly opening the cap from her can. Everyone from the local area used this well, the only one for miles guaranteed not to be poisoned for now. Often she had to wait, noting others hesitating by the corners of the farm buildings or peering out from the depths of the haylofts. But tonight, there seemed to be no one else. She shrugged her companion further up on her back and headed for the well. It took only a few minutes to fill the can from the noisy tap, its old plumbing complaining noisily throughout. Usually, this was when she was most anxious, for the noise could be heard for miles around. But it was so familiar, like the birds and the winds, it seemed natural to everyone else but the one close by. She replaced the cap and stood up. the silence amplified by the lack of noise from the pump. She was sure that someone else was here now, probably waiting for her to leave, but certainly watching. She shunted off, heaving the water and her metal companion, weaving down the path back to her home, just a few miles down the lane. She knew the route well enough. She could almost close her eyes, but the feathered light of the moon, struggling to peer through the sulphurous skies, contrived to help. As she reached the path to her home, with its white painted panels a clarion call from the distance, she was sure she'd been followed. But today, she discovered a discarded metal creature. She pushed open her front door and allowed the can of water to drop. Weariness overcoming her, she headed for the other side of the main room and tipped her companion onto the table. "Oh," she breathed heavily, "I hope you're worth the effort." She regarded the jumble of metal rods and plates, which were joined by a series of small steel pipes and a tangle of nodes. She saw the head had been partially blown off, with no face, just the command core left, some shielding plates hanging out of place. There were plenty of parts she could repurpose, and whatever she couldn't, she could trade at the market. "Ah, you'll keep me going for weeks. I should name you. Lindyway, maybe. Long awaited." But she shook her head. How could she name something she would dismantle over the next few days? She turned away and reached for the back door to turn on the generator. She stopped. There was a different quality to the sound in the air outside. She waited for a moment, but felt nothing more, and stepped out cautiously. Soon the generator, covered in baffles to reduce the noise, settled into a satisfying purr. Karima knew to be thankful these old-fashioned machines had survived the cull of the robots, because they didn't need a microchip to function. She was exhausted, but decided to make some preparations and laid out her tools. She grabbed a tin of soup from a cupboard and drained it, casting it onto the top of the trash nearby where it sat precariously. She reached for her electric screwdriver, plugged it into the main circuit to charge.
"Hi there,"
a voice spoke boldly from the dark direction of the door. Karima whirled around, grabbing a blade from her toolkit. "What the hell are you doing in here?"
"Whoa, hold on."
The man stepped tentatively from the shadows and held out his arms. A small pistol in his right hand was face down. His head was obscured by a wide hat, but she could feel a grin in the dark. Karima knew him to be the self-appointed local lawman, a policeman no one trusted. "Do you usually march into people's homes?" "Oh, is this your home?" I saw light suddenly on and came over. "So you were watching?" "Of course, that's what I do, that's my job." His hands were still out, but he leaned forward. "You're so young to be on your own. Were you following me?" "What if I was? You might be doing something you shouldn't be." "Don't be ridiculous. Get out of my house." "You're pretty feisty for someone who lives alone." The man took a step closer. Karima reached for the screwdriver from its charge point. "Look, just leave. I have work to do." She pressed the instrument into the neck of the metal creature on the table before her. "Yes, I see that." He took another step. Karima might have been frightened, but today she discovered a discarded metal creature, and the tiny charge in her screwdriver kick-started a reaction in the command core. Red lights pulsed at the top of what should have been the head, and suddenly a white light burst across the blank wall opposite, projecting erratic scenes of life, with people and robots fighting in the air. "Oh my God, what is that?" Karima shouted. "Turn it off!" The lawman bellowed, raising his gun, and ran forward. Thank you for listening. So next week, the 100th episode, who is the lawman? Is the white light a hologram or a video? And just what is the grin in the dark? See you next time. This is Jake Jackson. Thank you and goodbye.